I was informed this morning that there's going to be a cake for you, Chelsea, as well as for any other birthday boys and girls in the month of June. So there's going to be a cake next door at lunchtime, is it? After. Anyway, be looking for a cake and take a piece. Hi, Tony. Good morning. I see Rogelio, and I was with your princesses last Sunday, and I gave them an assignment, and as their father, I'm wondering, how are they doing with that scripture memorization? So-so. Okay, well, I'll ask them. Naomi and Natalie, good morning. Hi. Remember what we did last Sunday? Yeah, how are we doing with that? Good. Do you remember what the scripture was? Well, where's Albert? He's teaching today. So he's going to follow up. It's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 on the topic of fellowship. And I didn't have this prepared to share with you, but I thought it was appropriate since they're going to start scripture memorization. And they have. So they're going to be tested on it today, but it was also appropriate because I was home with my wife alone yesterday, working on my Montero again. I've a little side story there, but I felt a little disconnected from all of you. Well, I haven't. Marlene, she was gone. I came back, snuck in late last week, and I was just thinking, you know, I feel like I haven't seen all of you. It's been a week, but it seems longer than a week, and so I realized that God really has a purpose in bringing us together on at least a weekly basis to fellowship. And Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Okay? So I'm here to encourage you, as you've already encouraged me. And Ricky, thank you for leading us in that great worship. So, what can I tell you about my car? I told you last week it's kind of newer because I stripped off some old, molding, and I put some new paint on there, and now it kind of looks new. And yesterday, I actually was able to remove all the papers that I've been collecting for literally 6 months. I just kind of put them in the back of the SUV. If you're anything like me, you don't want to throw things away. You know, you see something new, and you want to read it, but you don't have time to read it, so you don't throw away. So I just kind of pile it up in the back of my SUV. But I got rid of all of it yesterday. And it's interesting because my battery went dead yesterday morning. I left my lights on last week, so I couldn't drive. So I called AAA because I'm a AAA member. And they showed up for free and put a new battery in. And I just feel, it was interesting because somebody from another church called and he needed a car to show his clients. So as soon as I got the new battery in and I got the old papers out, there was somebody calling me and needed the car. And I was able to bless them with a car. So that's kind of cool. I guess I could paint a little spiritual metaphor picture somehow where we got to get rid of the old stuff and we need to recharge our batteries. And you're here today and we're doing that, so we're glad you're here. And I guess one other thing I wanted to say that's not in the bulletin, as we were singing, I don't know what you guys do when you sing, because I'm looking this way. Do you guys open your mouth? You do? I mean, I've seen some people that don't. I don't know what you put in your mind. Ricky's up there with his eyes closed. What are you thinking about? He'd like that. I was thinking of the cross. Often when I worship, I have a picture of the cross in my mind. And sometimes it's not crystal clear, but often I have the picture of the cross in my mind. And somehow when I'm singing and I see the cross, it does something to my heart inside. And so I don't know what you guys fix your thoughts on or your mind on. The words are often the best things. But if you haven't tried looking at... Yes, Francis. A special trip for Jesus? Yeah. Okay, maybe I better make the official announcements. Welcome. I think you all know we're starting at 9:30. We're going to have our joint service at 9:30 as well. When is going to be our first or next joint service? Does anybody know that? Next Sunday. Okay, Ricky. Father's Day is next week. How are we doing with Father Abraham? All right. Any men volunteers? We need. We're going to do a little performance for the congregation. Rogelio, thank you. Tony, thank you. Luke, Brian, thank you. When are we going to practice? When are we going to practice this, Ricky? 9 o'clock next Sunday? Do we have the song here? Is there any way we could do it right at... Okay, so for those of you that are going to be around here afterwards, let's find Ricky and let's rehearse a little. We got a big performance for the other members. Yeah, probably not a bad idea. We'll try 9 o'clock next Sunday. Yeah, after service. Okay. It's easy. There's not too much. It's Father's Day, and so Pastor Joseph has asked the men to come up with something fun, short, easy, simple. You can stand in the back. People won't notice us that much, except we'll put Ricky out in front. Yes? A quick announcement. Wow. Great, that's great. That's like half of one of me that you gave away. That's all right. We continue our church prayer equipping with Marlene. That's Tuesday nights at 7:15. Looks like we've. I mentioned this last week. I'm not going to be here, but on August 3rd, there's going to be a whole church outdoor Sunday celebration. That looks like a lot of fun. So, any other announcements? Going once, twice. Okay, so I'll ask the ushers to come forward. We'll take a minute for tithes and offering. This is an opportunity for us to give back. Okay. Lord God, we thank you for a beautiful day that you've given us. And we also thank you that each one of us can be present here this morning. It is truly a blessing to be able to fellowship with one another, to be able to worship, to be able to encourage one another, and to be able to receive, Lord. As we sang in those songs, Lord, you are holy, you're amazing, and you love us. And I pray one thing that the people here today will walk out of here and they will know that God loves you. God loves you. So, Lord, we thank you that we have the privilege and the responsibility to give back a portion of what you have blessed us with. We ask that you bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, we're finishing that up. I'll ask Pastor Joseph to come forward. I'll say a little prayer for him. And I was talking to Brian. This is a big week for him and his wife, and I have his permission to share that his wife is visiting the doctor again. I'm not sure everything that's going on in your wife's womb, but God does. And I think that there's going to be some results or another test that's going to let us know how the babies are doing in there. I'm going to pray for you, Brian, and your wife, and I'll also pray for Pastor Joseph. Father God, we We thank you that you're the giver of life. And we just want to lift up Cindy, who's at home now, resting. We pray for her embryos, and we pray that you'll protect her and protect those children. We pray for favor, Lord, upon her, and just pray for peace for Cindy, peace for Brian. I also heard, Lord, that Cindy's father has received some news regarding his health in Taiwan, and it's not that good. So we pray for his well-being, Lord, that you'll bring healing to Cindy's father. So we thank you for Brian, Lord, and we pray that you'll give him strength as he needs to care for his wife as she's going through this pregnancy. We pray that you'll give him words to encourage her, and I pray that you'll also encourage Brian, Lord, as he has to continue to work. Thank you for Pastor Joseph. He has a word for us today. I pray that you'll anoint him and encourage him as he speaks to us to encourage us. Lord, give us open ears and open hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. Quite a long service leading, huh? Your announcement a lot. You share a lot. I think we, as a family, you know, like Scott, he shared just now, you know, I sense Scott missed us very much. You know, he tried to talk to every one of us. Really, it's a family. But we need have the reality of family. It's not just family, we come together. It's a God's family, right? And also the God's family composed God's children, you and me. So when one suffer, we all suffer. When one rejoice, we all rejoice. That's a family. I think I'd like to welcome Nick to join us today. Nick, please stand up. Yeah, we welcome you. Yeah, his girlfriend's attending the baptism class right now. So she told me as well to join the worship service. We'll welcome George and Kathleen back. Nice to see you. I saw you last Sunday, so welcome. I just wonder how many of you remember what was the sermon title or what's the subject matter I was sharing last week? Yeah. Okay. Last Sunday, we learned the truth about self-image and how to build a healthy self-image. Anybody still remember what that self-image mean? Self-image means how you look at yourself, your mental picture of yourself, how valuable, how precious you are or not. I think it's a very important thing in our life because it shapes us. Today, we like to find out even more. We will learn about our identity, our true identity. My title is, We Are Abba's Children. You know, we all come from different walk of life. We come here today. I just wonder, how was your week? We have different stories, right? Everybody comes. So how was your week, George? How was your week this past week? Tough week. How many of you have tough week this past week? Raise your hand. Besides George. How many of you have very encouraging week this week? Okay. So we came from different walk of life, different week, different life experience. We come together. We come here to worship God. We want to interact with God. I just want the Lord to encourage you today to edify you, to build you up. So my first point today I'd like to share is our true identity. Who am I? I'm an engineer. That's my profession. I'm 35 years old. That's my age. I'm a husband. That's my family role. But who am I? If I'm not married, I don't have a job, who am I? That's our ultimate questions, our identity. You know, knowing who we are determines how we live, how we become. Actually, knowing who you are, you know who you are, you will determine how you see the situation right now, right? We all face different kind of challenges. You have suffering, you have a grief, you have difficult things. Maybe you cannot share with anyone else on the earth. But if you know who you are, that will change your perspective. Amen? Really. For instance, if you truly believe you are God's child, you have a heavenly Father who loves you and cares for you, then you will live confidently, worry lesser. It's hard, it's impossible to not worry at all, right? Anxious lesser, and live in a relatively peaceful mode, relatively. If you know you are designed to live in a family, God's family, your highest privilege and deepest need is to experience the Holy God as your loving Father. That's very important. If you know that, then the purpose and the goal of your life will be so different from the rest of the world who pursue fame, fortune, pleasure, and power in order to be valuable and secured. The people pursue that with reasons, with the perspective of who they are. So perhaps you wonder, as Christians, what is our true identity? What is our true identity as a Christians? My sermon title revealed the secret already. We are Abba's children. We are God's children. That's our ultimate identity. That's who we are. It goes beyond our gender, race, cultural background, educational level, social status. When do we have this true identity? You may ask. This leads to our second point, is our journey of faith. It starts with conversion. It starts with the day you receive Jesus as your Savior and the Lord. Quote in the Galatians chapter 3:26 says, "So in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith." Amen? Did you have that day? You receive Jesus unto your life as Savior and the Lord. That's the beginning of the journey of faith. I believe that was a glorious day. I listened to a lot of people in the baptismal service, which we're going to have on July 13th, the joint service. It will be 9:30. We're going to ask those brothers and sisters who are going to be baptized to share. How did they come to know the Lord? Did you have that day, particular date, you received the Lord, our Savior and the Lord? Any one of you? Do you still remember that day? Ricky, not ahead. We do have that day. John 1:12-13. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. Our journey of faith starts at our conversion. It's at that particular point in our life we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Then Jesus came to our life as our Savior and the Lord. A new life began with a new identity that we are children of God. We know that, right? Do you know that? But do you believe that? Do we have that reality? And that's why I'm going to share with you. Maybe you ask the questions here. What happened? How did we become children of God? Come to our second point here is a process of redemption and adoption. I'd like to invite you to read a part of scriptures, Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 to chapter 4, verse 5. It's quite a verses. May we read together. Galatians chapter 3. Okay. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. Trustee until the time set by his father. So also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principle of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, reading those. Okay, we just read until here. So this scripture explained to us about how we will adopt as the children of God. God only have one child, only one son, that's Lord Jesus. But we are his sons through adoption. How did that come through? I'd like to explain to you here through the scripture. First is through faith in Christ, we become the heirs of Abraham. What does that mean? That means we are Abraham's heir to inherit all the promises in Christ Jesus. You are children of God. You will receive a lot of promises in Christ Jesus. How does that work? I need to explain to you this from adolescent to manhood things. There are some cultural background here worth to know. That why Apostle Paul said in verse 1 and 2 just now we read. In Judaism, a boy becomes a man after his 12th birthday. After he is 12 years old, he became a man. At which time he became a son of the law. He needed to start to obey the law, to know the law. However, in the Greek culture world, the age is 18, much older. I think that's the American culture too, right? When does the boy become a man? 18, right? Okay. But under Roman law, the age for a boy passed from adolescent unto manhood may not be fixed as Judaism and Greek culture. It is at his father's discretion to determine when his son will become a man. And that's why in the verse 1 and 2, Paul used the Roman custom to illustrate our adoption process. He say here, as long as an heir is underage, he's no different from a slave, although he owned the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. A Roman child became an adult at the sacred family festival known as the Liberalia, held annually on the March 17. At this time, at that date, this child was formally adopted by the father, by his father, acknowledged as son and the heir. Receiving a new dress, say right now, he's the son, he's adopted, he has the legal power to inherit all the position from the father. So that was the background Apostle Paul tried to explain here. The same thing with us. And he say here, it come to the explain our redemption and adoption. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 to 5. Say, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. When time has fully come, Jesus came. He redeemed us. Redeems means to buy back with his blood, with his life. He buy us back. He redeemed us from what? Under the law. To redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Man was slave either to the law as Jews or to the elemental spirits of the universe as Gentiles. Whether you're Jews, you're non-Jews. We're enslaved by this worldly value system. But Christ pay the price of their redemption and set them free, set you and me free. Moreover, here it is through Christ that men have the adoption. That is, they move not only from bondage to freedom, they also move into great house of God, where all are free men and women, and all are also heirs of God and co-heir with Christ. Praise the Lord. We are not just set free. We became children of God. We are adopted as children of God. Do you understand what I was sharing? It's not only just redemption. You are redeemed. You're bought back by God. But also you adopt to God's family. Do you think that's important? You're part of God's family. I don't feel you guys very convinced. Maybe you don't understand too much what I'm saying. Is, in short, is the day you receive Jesus, Savior, and the Lord, Holy Spirit came into your life. You became children of God. You adopt into the God's family. And then you're going to inherit a lot of blessings, inheritance from God. And that's what the next point I'm going to share. Since we know we are children of God, let's live out our privilege as Abba's children. Passively, live no more like a slave. Live no more in fear. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. The spirit you receive does not make you slave, so that you live in fear again. Dear brother and sister, my friends, fear is a very powerful emotion, right? Many Christians today, as they face life, face a lot of challenge in life, trouble in life, their hearts full of fear. Right? Fear and love as two most powerful force drive a person. A lot of people, successful people, they have very difficult childhood. There's a lot of fear in their heart that driven them to be very successful. But if we are truly born again, the Holy Spirit already entered us to confirm that we are children of God. We are no more orphan, but why are we still fearful? Brother and sister, why? Why? Foundationally, isn't still an identity issue? Do you really believe you are children of God? Have you really experienced that reality as a children of God? We all have many of us here have children, right? When you're young, your parents take care of your needs, right? How many of you, when you were children, you are very worried and fearful? When you were little? Already? What were the reason? Because your parents didn't take care of you? Huh? About tomorrow. Okay. Okay. Yeah, maybe that's your parent cannot help too much. I think the reason, as the believers, we face life, we still worry a lot, anxious a lot. This is not exhortation. You know, we try to share. I have my fear. I have my worry. I think foundationally is identity issue. we really not just say, oh, I know already. Oh, Pastor, I know I'm children of God. But you don't know. You just know about it. If you know, you believe that, we need to live out that. That's why I say passively, live no more like a slave. Slave to fear, anxieties. As a believer, we still have that. We need a breakthrough. I hope today's message, my message will be pretty short. I hope today the message will encourage you to really to practice that. Though, what did Pastor Joseph say? I'm a children of God. I never feel that. You know, when a person as a children of God still live in fear and anxious thought all the time, that shows he or she's identity is an orphan. I don't have someone to protect me. I had to protect myself. I have no one to cover me. Amen? But actually, dear brothers and sister friends, your Heavenly Father already provide you a lot of things. Amen? You know, recently I don't know, maybe the just part of life. Recently I had to comfort so many people. I had to encourage them. I had to tell them, it's okay. Last night I took a walk with my wife. I had to comfort her, encourage her. But I don't feel was that effective. But God knows my heart. What I try to comfort her, what I try to encourage people is sometimes we really need to count the blessing, what God already grants you. Amen? Think about what God already blessed you. Amen? You can be here. You have a relative good health. You can hear what I say, right? You don't need a hearing aid. You do have a Heavenly Father taking care of you. But now we need an enlightenment of the Spirit to see that He is in our life. Another fear is many believers, when they approach the Heavenly Father, they have fear. They fear they are not good enough. They fear they are sinful. They are not too sure the Heavenly Father will receive the way they are. That also is a struggle with identity. You are children of God. I think Psalm 139 I shared with you last Sunday, right? God cares for you. I love that psalm. If you are not here or you are here, I encourage you, go back to read Psalm 139. God the Father really cares for you. When you lie down, when you walk, He look at you. Before you speak, He know what's in your heart. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, when you were developing in your mother's womb, He knew you already. He called you by name. He know you. He know your life. You are so precious to Him. I think that's very important. A lot of us, we approaching God the Father, we have fear. We feel we are not good enough. We are not holy enough. After all, He's all-knowing, right? He knows you inside out, but He loves you. He wants you to live a blessed life, a holy life, a life not under the curse of sin and judgment. Amen? And that's very important. So, our privilege as our children, we passively, we live no more like a slave. And actively, we live out the reality of Abba's children. I mentioned that earlier. First, we need to experience God as our perfect Father. That's very important. God's intent for your life, for my life, is you will hear in your spirit the same thing Jesus heard when He came out of water of baptism at the beginning of His ministry. God the Father spoke to Him that you are my Son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. Mark chapter 1, verse 11. Isn't that important? That's God's desire for you and me to hear the Heavenly Father say that to you. You are my daughter. You are my son. You are my child, whom I love. With you, I'm well pleased. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to 16. Attest to the highest privilege of the Christian life and deepest longing of our heart is knowing God as our perfect Father. God is our perfect Father and accept you and me. Isn't that important? It's so crucial. Abba is Aramaic language. It means Father. It's Jesus customary addressing to God the Father. Daddy is the equivalent word in English. I want to encourage you, when you pray to God, say Abba. Say, Daddy, you accept me. You love me. I thank you. I appreciate you. I think I actively live out the reality of Abba's children. The second thing is receiving those abundant inheritance. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7 reads, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 affirm that. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heir of God and co-heir with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. As Abba's children, we are his heirs and co-heir with Christ. As heir and co-heir with Christ, we have abundant inheritance. In other words, also it's a spiritual blessings. You as God's children, you're going to have a lot of spiritual blessings. I can quote them. It's recording Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 12 and 17 to 19. This is not on my outline. You can write down. In Ephesians chapter 1, you go back to read. God gave us, because you are his children, he gave you a lot of spiritual inheritance, spiritual blessings, in other words. Verse 4. The first inheritance and blessings, God chose us to be holy and blameless before the creation of the world. God chose you. Dear brother and sister, God chose you. Second blessing or inheritance is verse 5, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. God predestinated us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. Another inheritance, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. In other words, the blessing is we, our sin is being forgiven. Another one is verse 9. God reveals to us the mystery of his will, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the time reached their fulfillment. That mystery is everything will become one in Christ. So if you have chance, you can read Ephesians chapter 1. There are many, many inheritance, spiritual inheritance, because we are children of God. But the important is we need to receive that. We need to experience that. Amen? We experience God's forgiveness of sins. We experience God chose us to be holy, to set apart for him. Those are the inheritance, and we need to experience that. In our journey of faith, let's receive and experience each of them. And then we will know how privileged to be Abba's children. I realize what I share today is a lot of theological turn, and I'd like to invite you to think about, as a children of God, have you really experienced the reality? Are you intimate with him? When you pray to him, what kind of picture do you have? How do you feel when you pray to God the Father? Have you really experienced those spiritual inheritance? Record in Ephesians chapter 1. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this occasion. We come together as a family. We worship you. We share with one another. We praise you. We give tithe and offering. We listen to the word of God. We just pray your spirit will continue to minister in our life. May your spirit enlighten us to see our ultimate identity of the Abba's children. And what does that mean? What is that reality? I ask you continue work among us, within us, upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we conclude our worship here, and God bless you.